listen to the sound of my voice. You are getting very, very excited. We are in total control of the horizontal, the vertical, but especially the horizontal. We can make things boring or fabulously exciting.
When people think of hypnotism, a lot of them conjure up the idea of a malevolent force like Dracula trying to get them to do their bidding. But in reality, people turn to hypnotism to live better lives. From quitting smoking to forced feminization, the art of transforming yourself into a beautiful creation of your dominatrix's imagination.
It seems like hypnosis could unlock the limitless potential of the human mind. But is it possible to go too far? Today, comedian Chelsea Myers joins us to look at all the wild things people turn to hypnotism for help. Besides being a fabulous queer comedian in Chicago, as a teenager, Chelsea was hypnotized at a party and wasn't able to break the spell.
Plus, Cher wants to volunteer at the post office.
Chocolate snow falls to the ground after a malfunction at a chocolate factory.
And non-binary transgender Vikings.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And you are about to participate in a great adventure that reaches from your inner mind and into the feast of fun.
Hello?
Is this Chelsea Myers?
This is.
You are a beautiful woman. Relax. Everything's going to be all right. You're a brilliant comedian. And you are going to be fantastic on the Feast of Fun podcast today.
Wait, I don't know if I can talk anymore.
But you have to talk. It's a podcast.
Yeah. You're guided through this journey by your hosts, Fausto Fernos, that's me.
And Mark Fillion, that's me.
I feel safe.
You should feel safe.
You should
surrounded by warm light. Just don't pee in your pants right now.
Can't make any guarantees.
Just put on some diapers or your fold a towel underneath your chair in case you get moist in not a good way. You know what I'm saying?
Always come prepared.
How you doing, Chelsea?
I am doing well. Yeah, I mean, as well as you can do during these times, which is such a cliche to say, like, during these times. But how are you both?
You know, I'm actually turned on by all these people wearing masks. I gotta tell you.
You are?
Yeah. It's kind of like, I finally get why, like, women in the Middle East, like burkas. Because you always, like, I have friends who are from Iran or Afghanistan, and I talk to them about the women, you know, young women. They're like, you know, they don't wear any of that stuff, but they understand its appeal. And part of it is, like, it's very mysterious. And sometimes, you know, all you can do is look into somebody's eyes.
And the eyes are the windows to the soul.
Yeah.
You know, so they say if you have beautiful eyes but like an ugly face, this is your time to shine. Because you just have the eyes. You can be very expressive.
I don't know if you guys have heard of Esther Perel or anything, but she's like a famous, you know, therapist, like couple speaker. And she talks about like how in order for a couple to thrive, it has to have mystery. And so I think that's what's going to keep, you know, couples alive during this quarantine is the mystery. People should just wear it within their apartments too.
You know, as the more I wear the mask, the more comfortable I am just kind of wearing it around the house. Like before it was like, I'd come in, immediately take it off. But then I'm just like, I leave it on for a minute because like maybe I have to run back outside. So I'm just kind of keeping it on. It's just, it's not becoming so burdensome as it used to be.
You know, and as a gay man, like I used to have a little bit of a shame or concern when I was like cruising or, you know, giving hungry eyes to a gentleman in my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. But now I just, you know, I'm going full Dracula.
Yeah. Well, now it's like when you see them, you can't like, you can lick your lips and be like,
no,
but they can't even see that. You know what I mean? So you have your own little self-expression going on there just for you.
I'm normally pretty straight passing, so I've been trying to get the masks that the pride theme. I'm trying to, you know, peacock while I'm out, trying to see if I can't get anybody.
Because you're looking for a relationship with women these days. Is that right? Or are you open to all?
I'm open to all, but definitely these days more into the ladies. That sounded creepy. To women.
To the females.
Beautiful women.
Females. Females, non-binary. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Well, you could just put, like, on your mask, sit here. You know?
Yeah, but, you know, there's a lot of guys that are into that these days, too, right?
Oh, that's true. You know?
Not everybody's Drake, right? Wait, no, Drake likes his ass eaten. Is that right? Who's the guy that doesn't want his ass eaten because it's gay? I forget. It's not important.
Oh, my God. I was like, I got to search this on Twitter. You
know? Isn't it DJ Khaled that, like, doesn't go down on his wife, like, famously?
That's right.
I heard that. Yes. Yeah.
Well, you know what? One bitch won't do, another one will. That's for sure.
Now, Chelsea, you come to us. You're a comedian here in Chicago, but you have a really interesting past with hypnosis. Was this your high school prom that you got hypnotized as a teenager?
It was my senior year post prom. I got hypnotized. I just kind of never came out of it.
So you've been hypnotized for how many years?
All this time?
What was the process like? What happened?
So I was so excited to get on stage. And I don't know if you've ever been to a hypnotist show, but essentially, if someone isn't under, they'll tap you out to have you go off stage because they don't want you to fake it. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I had thought I was under, and the hypnotist actually had me leave the stage. And I'm like, that's weird. Like, I thought I was. So I just went into the crowd, and as the show went on, all of a sudden I just, like, fell from my chair and was, like, lying on the ground. And then at one point in the show, he said, there's something on your finger and it's growing. And I just started screaming bloody murder, like, in front of all of the high school, like, in the crowd, because at that point I'd been off the stage. And so they had to take me back to, like, the teacher's lounge or whatever. It was really close. And the assistant, you know, was trying to get me out of it, He couldn't. So I was just in the back screaming, and it was very creepy.
Wait a second. So where's this hypnotist?
He's still up on stage or something, or what?
No, he's still up on stage. And so he's trying to, like, you know, make it work.
So the high school nurse is like, snap out of it. Oh, his assistant.
His assistant and my vice principal, who was also my cross country coach, was, like, back there hugging me.
While something's growing out of your finger?
Yes. Spoiler alert. The reason why he had me get off of the stage is because I was so deep, he thought I was going to scare people. Joke's on him. I ended up scaring people way worse.
Wow. So he just pretended like you weren't hypnotized?
Yeah. So he was like, you know, so-and-so, get off the stage, essentially, because you're not under. And so he tapped on me, and I was like, that's so weird. And so he's in my cell phone. Like, we have a whole saga, but now with everything that happened. But essentially he saw me, and he realized that I was too far under, and he thought I would be too, like, people wouldn't enjoy the show because I would be so into it. Or just, like, sleep essentially the whole time. It would have been nice to know that when I went into the crowd, for sure.
Cause you just went this thinking, you know, you'd cluck like a chicken, or, you know, you couldn't get up, or something cute and fun, but it would end and that be done. But you stayed under the trance for such a long time that they had to bring, like, other master hypnotists, like Dr. Strange from the Marvel Universe. I'm just kidding.
Yes.
But really, like, it became a serious thing.
It became, like, a serious thing. It really did. So essentially, after, what a lot of people don't know is, like, after you're hypnotized, what the feeling you're supposed to get is, like, a lot of energy. Because essentially your, like, body is asleep. And so when people are finished with the show, they're, like, excited. And so I had a couple of friends that were, and, you know, you have parties and whatnot afterwards, and they were super energized. Me, I never got out of it. Eventually the main guy came back and tried to help. And I eventually just, like, stopped acting super weird, but I, like, was so incredibly tired. And then essentially, cut to, like, a few weeks later, there was, like, a DVD of the show, and because of my experience, he gave it to me for free. Not smart.
So this is like The Ring. When you played it, you got into a spell again?
I can't tell you. It was the most creepy experience. I'm going to try to bridge the story as much as I can. Okay. But essentially, I'm from Iowa, and so I was on a bus back from a game that got canceled because it was a storm, and they decided to put on the show.
Yeah.
And essentially just picture like cornfields, a bus full of like soccer people. They put on the video and all of a sudden my head was getting really close to the screen. And then they had to sit me down. And then like I started drooling. Like I had no control of like my mouth or anything like that. And then eventually they had to call the guy, and the guy was like, you know, by the guy in the hypnotist, take her outside, take her outside. So I am just like in a storm in the middle of a cornfield. Like I just started screaming again, and my soccer coach is like, I do not get paid enough for this. Like, and so, can you imagine? And so, yeah, so they eventually got me back under, and then it just kept happening. So I would just like, it was like finals time because, you know, prom. Yeah. So I'd be like in the library and my head would just like bang against the desk as I was studying for Spanish. So then like my athletic director had to come get me. And then I was out like a few practices from soccer. I was also the treasurer, don't mean to brag. And they had to change graduation around for me because I was going to be on the stage. So I didn't know this until afterwards, but they actually had teachers in the crowd that were spotters just in case I went under, and they put me in between people so that if I had to be carried out, I could. Like, it was this whole thing. And so I
actually, girl, this is high drama.
It's high drama all the time. And so I had to like get my brain rewired, question mark, because essentially my hypnotist called all of the leading hypnotists in the country and tried to talk about my case. And apparently at the time there was only one other person like me.
Am I being rude to like, you know, offer you to be in a trance at the beginning of the interview? I feel really bad now.
Oh gosh, no. Honestly, it's something that like I laugh about now. I did before this call kind of tell a couple of my friends like, hey, I'm going to be talking about hypnosis. Like there's a trick to getting me out of it. I essentially have to count down from 5 to 1 and put my fingers in this weird position. But it became like a thing. I had to like tell my college roommate, like I was like, hey, I'm Chelsea. Here's my hypnotist number. Like, you can call like if something gets weird. And she's like, okay.
So the hypnotist called another hypnotist and there was somebody else just like you.
Yeah. And apparently he called around and it was like all the leading hypnotists in the country. So I always say that I think at one point I was the most susceptible to hypnotism because I think my case lasted longer than hers. So I feel some pride in that. But it was like a real like weird time. And it just was like, and of course that's the time where like there's like the senior parties and like graduation parties. So like everyone in my high school just kind of knew. And so like I'd go places and they'd be like, how are you doing? And then it happened in college.
How would you like fall into the trance again? Like was there a trigger or it would just hit you?
It would just kind of hit me, which was like the weird thing. It just started like escalating a little bit more. So I really had to like focus on controlling my mind because I was talking to the hypnotist's wife one time when I couldn't reach him. And she was saying, essentially, a lot of us have like quote unquote hypnosis in our everyday lives. So like if you ever drive somewhere and you're like, I don't remember driving home, that's a form of hypnosis.
Well, athletes will talk about, you know, visualization in the movement, or dancers will do this. People who are trying to quit smoking. Mark, you actually quit smoking.
I listened to an audiobook and I wouldn't know if it was necessarily like hypnosis.
Yeah.
But it had a hypnotic quality to it. It kind of like spelled out like why you shouldn't smoke and why you are smoking and how to kind of break that habit. And by the time I was done with the book, I was just like, that was it. I didn't smoke again for like, you know, I relapsed like 13 years later. I'd say that's a pretty good track record.
But when you look like a hypnosis, like on YouTube or something, it's always like, it's kind of like an adult's laundry list of desires, right? It's like a better body, more money, looking like a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
This is one of my favorite category of hypnotherapy audio cassette tapes. It's called Force Feminization. And part of it is like there's a lot of interviews with hypnotists who will say that a lot of people turn to hypnotism, not necessarily because they want to change something in their life, but because they find it very sexually arousing to go into a trance and give over complete control over their mind to someone else. And it kind of fits into this archetype that we see in like in films like Dracula, where, you know, men and women are terrified that Dracula's going to do sexy things to them if they just look into his eyes.
And I can totally see how that's the case. One thing I learned through this is that you actually don't do anything while you're hypnotized that you wouldn't do normally. And by that, I mean, if they ask you to take off your shirt, you just never would in public, you wouldn't do that. But essentially, I think a lot of people are like repressed in their sexuality. And so I could see that hypnotic thing of like, I really do actually want to do this thing. But now I have this excuse, like subconsciously, I really do. So it kind of takes that barrier down where I can totally see the whole Dracula feeling.
Well, so like in terms of your sexual awakening and coming out process, do you think that it was shaped or even hindered by this trauma?
I think it definitely like added and made me really think about things, because I think part of a trait of someone that is easily hypnotized is that I can grab onto stories really easily. And so I really had to like watch myself and that like I didn't get caught up in like the excitement of a relationship or excitement of this, that, or the other, because I actually didn't come out until after college.
So you didn't experiment with women and you know, when you were liberal arts major. Yeah.
Ironically, I mean, this is the most like closeted thing. I was the women's basketball manager of my college.
And you played soccer.
I played soccer. Yes. But at the time I was like, I'm totally straight.
We have some female friends of ours that were like, honey, you are as lesbian as they come. And she's like, no, I like men, mama. And I'm like, oh, come on. And then, you know, 5 years later, they're like, you were right.
Well, you know, it's like a spectrum. It's like sometimes you might, you know, as a teenager, you're so horny all the time. You're just like, I want that. And then it's like, well, then as you get a little bit older, you're like, this is really what I want.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing that I like a lot of people don't get about sexuality is that it is such a spectrum. I used to say that I was bi, but then when I said that, I feel like people thought it was like a 50% thing where it's like, oh, if I said this girl was hot, like I was legally obligated within 10 seconds to say like this guy was hot too, just to like even it out.
Yeah.
And it's probably not something you want to say to a guy who's hitting on you at a club that you don't want to go home with. He's like, I like those odds.
Have you seen the meme with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris? And they're like, if you're bi, you're attracted to both of these people equally. And people are like, oh, come on. That's not what it's about. But, you know, it's kind of a funny thing.
That is hilarious.
And so in terms of like the hypnotism today, are you like worried, like if you watch The Jungle Book and the snake comes out, Ka, are you like apprehensive about it? Or are you completely cool with being around hypnotism and television shows and movies?
Yeah. Were you able to watch like the movie Get Out?
So I can't watch anything like that. So if there's any type of hypnotism in a movie, I probably will go under. And even things like yoga, like the Shavasana at the end, like I can't get too into being comfortable or else like I will stay asleep.
So you're kind of like Dennis Leary. You have to like be drinking coffee and smoking cigarettes to stay tightly wound.
Yes. I have to always like, I can never get too comfortable, you know? Yes.
So is it easy for you to fall asleep?
You know, you would think so. No, lately
not when you're smoking and drinking all that caffeine.
No, I actually have like a very strong addiction to the Monster energy drinks. It's bad. So I think that might be counteracting my ability to sleep.
Chelsea, I want you to consider this is that maybe you're like, you know, the Phoenix or Jean Grey in the X-Men, that you're suppressing this mutant force that you have in yourself with caffeine. And if you really unlock the power of your mind, you're like Charles Xavier. You could like go into some alternate dimension there. I mean, you know, it's very unusual for somebody to be able to go into a trance that quickly and deeply. And maybe you could like, you know, awake the supernatural forces within. I don't know. I'm just saying shit.
Just tossing something out there.
But, you know, like, I'm always like,
There's power, like there's, you know, you see something like this as a liability, but perhaps this liability is your greatest power that you have. And you haven't tapped into that potential yet.
Right now, I'm like wearing the suits, but like really, if I really focus on it, I can become a hero. and just really have a transformation moment of like just a wardrobe change and maybe like I just take my glasses off.
Yeah.
Yeah, and let down your hair until you go from mousy librarian to knock out hot rod sex kitten.
Superpowers.
No, but I mean, think about it. Like, you know, like, is there anything in your life you're like, I gotta get, you know, this done, but I'm so busy. And you're like, hypnotism, it's done. Like, if you don't want to be like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you're going on a date or something, like, what is it, an annoying task? Like, hanging out with your, you know, taking your grandmother out for shoe shopping or something like that. And you don't want to do it, so you just hypnotize yourself, and that way you just...
I'm going to enjoy this.
I'm going to enjoy it, or I'll conk out, you know? And it's like, it's like a... It's almost like there's two Chelseas, right? So anything that Chelsea doesn't want to do, she hypnotizes herself to, like, skip it.
Yeah, I could do, like... It could be, like, 50 First Dates, where they always show a movie, but it's, like, a movie of myself hypnotizing, and, like, depending on the activity, I have, like, a pre-made one, where it's, like, you are going to be a perfect granddaughter in this moment, compliment her socks, you know what I mean? Or different things like that. Or like, you're going to work out really hard today.
What was your relationship like with the hypnotist? Cause it seems like you guys, you know, you had to call them every now and then. It was he kind of like, oh my God, it's her again. Or he's just like, what the fuck did I do to her?
Honestly, at first, I mean, I like have been to his house. He was really good about it, but then he kind of was like, trying to distance himself, which makes sense. But he actually ended up going to doing like a hypnotism night at my college. And so I like tried to meet with him before, and like he was talking to press, and then just even hearing his voice, I just like fell into chairs.
What the hell?
It was insane. So honestly, like I think like he would love me talking about all of this because it doesn't help with the profession, but like it, I think I'm like an example of like it working, and I'm sure there's going to be some people out there that's like, oh, she's being facetious or this isn't real or anything. But like, if you talk to anyone that's close to me, it's like, oh no, it's like so real.
Have you ever seen the Manchurian Candidate, the movie?
Or heard about it. Well, at least in Trump, people talk about that Trump is a secret agent for Russia.
Mm-hmm. Well, the original one had like Frank Sinatra in it and Angela Lansbury. And Angela Lansbury plays like this bitch mother from hell who turns basically her son into like, you know, like a secret spy for the Russians. And it's like, it's nice to see Angela Lansbury play evil. But
she does evil really well. Yeah,
there's a lot of hypnosis in that.
Like Mrs. Potts in Beauty and the Beast, she was behind the whole thing. She was orchestrating the whole thing. No, but you've heard of situations where you know politicians are accused or suspect them into being, you know, targets for other agents or other nations. Hypnotizing them so they go against their own interests. Although it seems like the Republican Party has been all compromised. Maybe there is mass hypnosis happening there. You know, they all open up an envelope from, you know, the oligarchs and they're like, must kill America.
Honestly, I think that's the only excuse I can think of at this point for the way that they're behaving. It would actually make me feel better if I knew that they were hypnotized because I could empathize with them more. Because right now it's just, you wake up every day and it's terrifying.
But see, Chelsea, you could get away with a lot of shit though. You'd be like, it was a hypnosis. Sorry.
Yeah, but you can't do anything like under hypnosis that you wouldn't do in real life. So if
they don't know that.
Well, it's common.
What about the Manchurian Candidate? Chelsea be like, hey, can I borrow?
Chelsea robbed a bank and said, I'm sorry, I was under hypnosis. They'd be like, that's not an excuse. It means you really wanted to
but
rob
But like,
bank.
If you go to like Whole Foods and start snacking off the chocolate covered almonds and then be like, I was under
hypnosis. You can't get at them anymore. Everything's locked up because of COVID.
I know, stupid COVID.
You can't go grazing in the bulk food section anymore. Life is over.
This world, I don't want to live anymore.
The fact that we cannot get free samples of anything right now is just a tragedy.
Chelsea, have you ever thought about becoming a hypnotist yourself? Do you think that might help you control your superpower?
Yeah, kind of like where it's like you hear of, like, if you're an alcoholic, become a bartender, like the, like, you know what I mean? Like, really just kind of get on the other side of it.
Right.
It actually is a really good, it's a good thought. Yeah, maybe I could, and then I could just like go to, I don't know.
You must have had college. Some people that were kind of like, come on, Chelsea, this can't be real.
Yes, I think that there definitely was until they saw it. And then it's off, like, I remember I like transferred. So I went to a college for a semester and then I transferred to another one. And then that's when I was the women's basketball manager. And I just remember being like, what a great first impression that I have on all of these people. Like, it's going to be a hit. Like, all the guys love me. No. But yeah, looking back.
Is there anything in your life that you want to accomplish that you've just been putting off or not been able to do?
You know, it sounds cheesy, but I think right now,
not really.
No. I used to be in like an accounting position that was like pretty work heavy. And so I think like right now I'm just trying to focus on comedy and all of that. But like during the pandemic, who's to say like what to do? So I think all of that, like I would love to like write more, I think.
How are you handling comedy and during the pandemic? Because it's like for a lot of people, it's like there's no gigs to be had. There's no open mics. There's very few performances. Are you doing the Zoom thing, or are you just kind of like writing on your material and working on that?
Yeah, so I'm writing things. And then I actually have a group of some female comedians here in the city, and we put on like a little outside show a couple weekends ago, which was really cool. But other than that, I've done like a couple videos, but at the same time, there hasn't been much going on. So I'm really getting acquainted with, you know, C-list rom-coms and everything that Netflix has to offer.
What's like the big surprise or discovery in terms of like online viewing or watching that you've had in the pandemic?
I think it's been really cool to see really established stand-ups trying to do online content, because it makes you realize that like
they weren't funny audience, to begin with.
Well, yeah. Like the audience really does make a difference in laughing. Yeah. Like if they don't have that, it's like it's fun to kind of. This is going to sound, I don't know, whatever, but like it's kind of fun to see these people kind of rattled a little bit.
I follow Maria Bamford on Twitter, and she's always just like, I need somebody, I need one-on-one or maybe two people to watch me on a Zoom call today, like, and I'm going to test out my material, and people are like, me. She's like, all right, I found somebody out of her thousands of people, and I'm just like, how special would that be to be the one person that she does, you know, you're sitting there watching Maria Bamford do her material.
I would want for nothing else.
Right?
Well, it sounds like somebody who can't orgasm unless there's like three or four people watching them.
Well, you want a reaction from people on their things.
Like I know that there's, I have friends, I'm not going to put them on blast, but they're like, they're on OnlyFans or like that, you know, amateur porn stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And they've gotten so into it that they can't have sex unless they're being, people are watching it and they're being paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's so arousing for them. And like this kind of dovetails.
Money is power.
Yeah, money is power. And part of it is like hypnosis. Like hypnotherapists in a lot of interviews and stuff will say that like a good bulk of their clientele is people like, you know, going to them because they just get aroused. They get horny when they're put under. And sometimes they, you know, that some of it's forced feminization, right? It's like, you know, or infantilism, the pretending that like they're a baby. And so like
who's the pretty baby?
Who's the pretty baby? You're the pretty baby. You know, you're surrounded by beautiful light. You're a beautiful woman.
You have to be careful.
Yeah, be careful. You're
not going to fall under any kind of hypnotic spell during this podcast, Chelsea. Okay,
that's going to do it. That's reverse psychology or reverse hypnotism.
You are a strong, smart woman in charge of your own mind.
Don't say that too much.
Oh my gosh. Maybe this whole time, like you had the ticket. Like I just needed the reverse. Like if you just told me I can't be hypnotized, then I could just like live my life.
You are living
go
your
to
life.
All the yoga class. Yes, that's true. Thank you.
Well, technically, couldn't you be hypnotized so you don't get hypnotized?
Oh, shit. That's the hypnotism paradox.
Oh, my gosh.
She's going to explode now.
Does not compute.
So I'm going to go. No.
That's a kind of an exciting thing, though, because like I imagine that if somebody who really wants to get to know you better and you're just not giving them the time of day, they'll just bring a pocket watch.
Yeah. And
I was thinking about that. Like, I really would have to like watch myself as I'm walking around now that all of my secrets are exposed.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to be out at a bar and some woman's going to be attracted to you. And she's just like, Chelsea, you're getting very, very sleepy.
We're going to be listening to Melissa Etheridge. You're going to pack all your belongings in a U-Haul and come over to my house on Friday. And we're going to open up a bottle of rosé and eat buffalo wings while we watch reruns of The L Word. And we're going to have fun.
Yes, and the reboot of The L Word.
What do you make of all that? Can we just get new shows about lesbians on television without any rehashed title tropes?
Did that come out yet?
They're working on it.
It did.
Yeah.
Okay.
The first bit of it did come out. I've seen every episode. I agree. I would love some new lesbian content out there. However, I would be lying if I didn't say that, like, I think it like came out on like a Sunday or something. I was like ready for it.
But you want lesbian content that doesn't involve two women going, we just need a man to pleasure us.
Yes. Like,
was that on The L Word?
No.
I never watched The L Word because it was like on Showtime, I think, or something like that when it first came out, right?
It still is. And that's like the reason why I have a Showtime account is literally because of The L Word.
Well, I love sharing this story with women who are fans of the original L Word. You know who Leisha Haley is?
The yogurt lady?
The Dan and yogurt. Like, you know, this yogurt is better than walking on the beach. This yogurt better than best friends and stuff. She's like she's a super manipulative, rotten person.
Fausto, don't say that about people. You can't say that about people.
Rumor,
on television.
Allegedly. So what
she broke up Katie Lang.
She broke up Katie Lang with her lover. Yeah.
But can you really break somebody up? Aren't they already ready to break up?
She was the mistress in the relationship.
Listen, that happens all the time. You can't fault somebody.
30 years ago, but
Foster can't let it go.
I just think it's a fascinating story because like anytime I tell the women, I was like, yeah, she in real life, she's left this trail of broken hearts. Like women.
She's a woman eater.
Well, she's just super highly desirable, and women just like throw themselves off a cliff for her. They're like, anything for you, Leisha Haley, the yogurt lady. Like, they're just in love with her.
I think what you're describing is just like a lesbian in general. You know what I mean? It's just like the commitment level is so high. And like with the L Word, it's like a big concept of it was like the whole like, there's like that chart and network of like everyone's connected in some way.
Yeah. Well, the ultimate L Word is love.
Oh.
Dun, dun, dun. Blew your mind.
That just got really sweet.
Like, I was just actually thinking about that the other day. I was like, oh, the L Word is love. I was like, all this time I thought it was lesbian, but you know, it was.
We can be both.
That's the pun.
L can be for many things.
Yeah. Or licking, or laughing, lollipops, and
linoleum.
It's a good material.
I gotta tell you, the thing that I've gotten really excited about is this Amanda Cohen, the comedian, Nobody's Mom, turned me on to this fake documentary on Amazon Prime called The History of Time Travel, and it is lit, honey.
Oh, it's a fake documentary.
It's a fake documentary that's also weaving in actual, talking about the history of time travel in popular culture. And then there's, a fake narrative about a scientist who discovers time travel. And it goes into all the ridiculous and examines all the different perspectives of what would really happen if somebody had access to traveling through time.
I will check that out.
It's really good, and everybody should watch it. It's fantastic. In fact, it's the best documentary I saw tomorrow. Or yesterday? How does that go? I don't care.
Time is relative.
Yeah. What, I mean, what else are you watching right now on Netflix, Chelsea?
Oh, you know, there's just so many different things. Did you ever watch the glass blowing competition?
No. No,
that sounds great.
I love glory holes, though. That's the thing that you put the glass in when you want to heat it up, right?
Yeah, what were you thinking about?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that was exactly what I was talking about. Yeah. It's just a bunch of glass blowers and, you know, dramatic music. I am trying to evangelize everyone that I meet to watch it.
What's it called?
It's like blown, or like it's definitely blown a pun. Away. Something like that. I don't
red hot. I get very excited when I see a rod stuck in a glory hole and getting red hot
and then blown in.
You blow.
It's fascinating to watch. I visited like some of those places, like and I was a glass blowing place. I think it was in Italy, and also in New York State too, because they do a lot by Corning, and it's fun to watch them like heat that just like molten glue up, and just they just blow it, and it's like becomes this beautiful little vase.
Well, even like, you know, iron or anything, you heat it up, the molecules in there get soft. You know, and actually, like the glory hole in like men's bathrooms where guys stick their dicks in the holes to get their dick sucked. Mm-hmm. That's actually a reference to the original glory hole of a glass and metalworking. Yeah.
Lesbians have glory holes too, but they just sit on either side and process things together.
Yes, it's very cathartic. We work through our childhood traumas.
Cher says on Twitter that she called the post office because she's worried about the Trump shutting down the post office for the voting, because she really wants to get rid of Trump. She really wants him out of office, and she's afraid that he's going to dismantle the post office for all the people doing the mail-in voting.
I agree with her. I think that's very likely to happen.
So she tweeted out, okay, called 2 post offices in Malibu. They were polite. I said, hi, this is Cher, and I would like to know if you ever take volunteers. Lady said she didn't know and gave me the number of the supervisor. I called and said, hi, this is Cher. Do you accept volunteers? No, need fingerprints and background check. And then like a little face that's crying, like she's not going to pass a fingerprints and background check.
Well, you consider there's so many Cher impersonators.
Yeah.
You know, who's to know she's the real one? And then it could be a Republican saboteur, a Manchurian candidate.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'll take your Maryland votes here, and throws it in the garbage can.
I love that with Twitter only having a certain amount of characters, she took the time to say that, like, she was sure to say, hi, this is Cher, each time. Like, could you imagine being on the other end of that and just being like, Cher?
Well, if Cher called you, Chelsea, would you think that it was Cher, or do you think it was me, like, pranking you?
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't believe it. No.
Right, and be like, hey, trust Chelsea, no, I think your comedy's really great. I thought you were fantastic on Feast of Fun. Do you want to be gal pals with me? Come over and we'll make a pizza together. We'll put one in the oven. I don't trust the delivery stuff.
I would ask what she thought. I would ask you what you thought of the post office, and that's how I'd know.
I want to volunteer in the post office. See, that's, you know, you could just read Cher's tweets, or we call them tweets. And just, you know, repeat it, and who's to know? Maybe I am Cher.
I wonder, what she thought she was going to do at the post office. Like, what did she mean by volunteer?
Well, she just wants to lend her celebrity to get people to go to the post office. And
oh, see, I was, like, picturing her in, like, the back, like, sorting mail, like, doing manual labor.
Well, the thing about it is you can get right now, most places in the United States, you can get your early ballot and you can just go drop it off yourself. You don't even have to rely on the U.S. Postal Service. Like, everybody's like panicking on that stuff, but you could just drop it off. And, you know, there is early voting in most places.
There's places like you drop it off at your council or whatever, right?
Yeah, and it's like, listen,
it doesn't have to go through the
Republicans are going to try to sabotage this election, no ifs and buts. They're bragging about it.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying, I'm going to sabotage this election, and if I lose this election, Trump says, I am not going to leave unless I'm kicked out dragging and screaming. So it's up to you, America. Do you want Trump as president or don't you? You know what to do.
You know what to do. Vote.
Yeah.
Vote.
Get that.
Have you been watching the Democratic National Convention at all?
I've been obsessed.
Yeah.
Yes.
What have you been seeing?
I love the idea of everything going digital and like the awkwardness of it, but they're making it work. I cried when Michelle Obama was speaking, like just like a baby. I didn't know anything about Jill Biden, Jill, and she seems great too. I love it because when they cut to people that are supposed to be clapping, they're never ready. So then it just like that awkward pause and then they start clapping.
All these lead balloons just keep dropping here. And then you're like, oh, yeah, it's hard. You know, it's like because people were not next to each other in the same room. Like I've been really enjoying you on this podcast, but it would be a much different experience if you were just sitting here in this room with us.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yes.
So it'll be interesting to see what the Republican convention is like next week. The lineup is just incredible. That couple from St. Louis that were waving the guns at people, they're going to be featured speakers. The ones that waved the guns at the Black Lives Matter protests that were coming through their neighborhood to protest the mayor and the mayor's racist comments. That kid from that was at the steps of Washington, who was in Washington, D.C., and the Native American person was playing the drum right in his face. And he sued like one of the news outlets for saying like he antagonized them or something like that. This jerk kid is going to be a speaker. The pillow guy will be a speaker.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, it's
the guy who makes the pillows.
Yeah. And it's like every idiot loser is going to be speaking at that convention.
Well, and Scott Baio, he's Scott probably going to be. Yeah.
Yeah. He'll be
Charles,
there as well.
Who we do not want you in charge.
No.
I always laugh because the Republicans, at least as of late, love to be like, oh, we don't care about celebrities, but yet they still try to like cling to them. And like the ones that they get are just so bizarre each time too, that like it's definitely like I have a girlfriend, but she lives in Canada situation of like, they're just scraping to the bottom of the barrel of who they can get.
Mm. Well, I tell you this, that nobody from TikTok is going to be speaking at the Republican convention.
God bless the TikTokers.
I guess we're missing Hillary Clinton. She must be speaking right now, but we can watch it later.
Yeah, you could. That's the nice thing about it all being virtual is like you could just watch it anytime you like. You know,
I guess she just said Joe and Kamala can win by 3 million votes and still lose. Take it from me. People, we got to vote. We have to get out there and vote this Yahoo out.
Honestly, and like tell your friends too, like I think like there could be like a voting party where like you all Zoom and you show like you're all like filling it out together or something and then go do it. I don't know, but like things, they're bleak. I love to be positive, but they're bleak.
Well, part of me is like, you know, with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's speech, she's like, you know, throughout the speech, she's like, and that is why I am proud to nominate for president of the United States, Bernie Sanders, psych. And you know, she was given a minute. She got 2 minutes, which I thought was ridiculous.
Oh, yes.
Why?
Yeah.
This was pre-recorded. So the DNC and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez both knew that it would be confusing message. It could be interpreted as divisive. A lot of people were just like, what's going on here? You know, and later even Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez had to go on Twitter and explain that it was a procedural thing. And that part of it is like, you know, in order to lend support to Democrats winning this next election, part of it is we have to push progressives to vote. And, you know, you may not align or like, and there's certainly a lot not to like about the Democratic candidates, but there's a boatload more to hate about the Republican candidates. And to me, I just felt that it was kind of like confusing, and it would unnecessarily confusing not to explain that in the 2 minutes that she had. What do you think about that, Chelsea?
I agree with that. I think now knowing the background, I understand why she did it, but I think it was definitely very well pre-written, and that she's a very smart person, and I think she knew what she was doing. And I'm never going to say like really negative things about AOC and by any means. So I'm definitely not trying to paint that picture, but I think right now, and it could just be my like liberal bubble that I live in, I suppose, but like you go on Twitter, different things in it, and the progressive side of things is already not thrilled. I think with a lot of the picks that are going on, I think it just kind of added that fuel to those people's fire a little bit too.
Listen, I'm Puerto Rican. The women in my family, my friends, they are strong, brilliant women like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And for me, it's like she is the future leadership of this country. And politics is sometimes about explaining complicated ideas in ways that the public can understand. And she, I'd like to know more about why that speech was positioned in that kind of psych manner at the end, or I don't know if she intended to, but like the fact that the DNC didn't give her feedback on it and said, you know, you might want to re-record this or, explain things, or maybe they felt they couldn't have that conversation or she couldn't have that conversation with them. It just seemed to me like unnecessarily sabotaging the Democrats without winning anything for progressives. You see what I'm saying? It's like, I she was on, she was a judge on RuPaul's Drag Race, but this time we're judging you, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Congratulations, Alexandria Cortez. Your political commentary was astute, but it didn't quite deliver what we were expecting. You're not up for elimination. You're safe.
Dramatic noises and sounds.
I messed that up. I'm sorry, America.
Oh, just re-record.
Yeah, just re-record it. But hey,
no one will even know.
That's like with Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez. She was just probably busy. And she's like, I got other shit to do. You just use this, whatever.
And you know what, though? With that said, I think more people are talking about that than had she just done exactly what we all thought she was.
Yeah.
So maybe that was her angle, is then now it's driving more attention to the progressive side. I'm going to give her to that benefit of the doubt, but I don't know if you guys listen. Is it okay that if I mention a different podcast on your podcast?
No. Yes, go ahead.
Sorry. And I don't know how you feel about them, but I'm just going to, anyways,
unless it's your listen own. To,
yeah. If it's your own, that's great. Yeah. It is your own, right?
No? Elder Talk with Chelsea K. Myers. I talk to old people.
Have you released that yet? It's coming out, right?
So I have one episode out, and then I have a couple that are in the chamber, as they say.
Do you want to talk to my mom? Really, she's 95.
Yeah, you should interview Mark's right-wing Republican mother.
I'm obsessed and I need to. I've been calling nursing homes. The difficulty with this is I can't find old people. So, like, the amount of Googling I've been doing, all of my targeted ads are for retirement homes and like chairs that'll help me go up the stairs. I have looked into those
What are you looking for? What are you trying to talk to them about?
Really just their lives. Like, I just think that everyone has an interesting story and I want to talk to them about it. So I also I want to talk to just like anybody about anything.
So your podcast is about 10 minutes long, right? Because when I'm talking to my mom, she's like, I'm tired. Goodbye.
My mother can talk for an hour.
Right. I feel like most old people that I know, like if you actually show that you want to hear what they're saying, they're like, wait, what? And then they're like, back in the war of 1812, so yeah, that's the goal. But you know, it's crazy. I've gotten some like interesting responses back from old people. Like, how did you find me? And it's like, you know, I don't know. You know, you have a little wine, you start searching elderly things online and you find different people, and I'm cold calling.
I think that's great, Chelsea. And I think, you know, too much, pop culture and entertainment culture is so youth focused. So I think it's great to give attention to people who have amazing stories to tell, but you know, they're kind of isolated, you know, and as a society, we tend to discard and not value our seniors. So I think it's great that you're putting that out there and hopefully getting some great interviews out there.
Thank you so much. And that's kind of where I'm at. And I was thinking during this time, like most people, the elderly population is the most at risk. So probably aren't, getting those conversations. So that's really my goal.
So how are you like recording this? Are you like, you know, calling them on the phone, or are you like getting up close and coughing on them? And they're like, we taped this great interview, but they passed away from COVID.
Yeah. I'm the new toy fight Mary, like of these times.
Stay away from my mother.
I've been using Zoom. You can record via that, and then I try to have them just hit a number.
Citizens to understand how to do.
No, but you can call into it.
Oh, they can call. So it's like a phone call. Yeah.
Yeah, they can call in. Although I did lose one senior citizen because she couldn't get it figured out and got so frustrated. And so then I tried to call back and be like, listen, I can do a workaround. And she was like, honey, I'm tired. And I was like, I am too. Let's call it a night.
So you're in the middle of the interview with them, and it's like then you know you just get to like just beep 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 beep, and they're like, why are you pressing the keypad? I don't understand why you're doing that.
I interviewed my grandparents, and like you can definitely hear them like microwaving things in the background, like they're addicted to like online, like, you know, they love to go to the casino but can't right now. So I think my grandpa started playing that on like the iPad, and I was like, please.
Because they got addicted to the gambling games on their mobile devices.
Yes, yeah, yes.
On their tablets. And so they're like crushing candy and like, you know, I won $10,000. And I'm like, oh God.
Yes. My Christmases are normally like, I open up the gifts and it's the local one. There's the Diamond Joe or whatever. And it's just like a Diamond Joe box. And it's just some random stuff from the casino, which is always fun to see.
If you could just do a public service announcement, tell every senior, don't buy anything you see on Facebook. Mom, this is means you. Oh my God. They're like stealing so much money from seniors by getting them to buy all kinds of arthritis treatments that is just snake oil and garbage, you know, massage tools that are just cheap dildos,
back scratchers.
You're like, hey, a cucumber will work just fine, lady.
And it's crazy how specific the Facebook ads can get. Like they know your inner souls. And honestly, like if I could find a partner that knows me as well as the Facebook ads, like I think I'd be set for life.
I still don't see like sex workers that look like Chris Evans on Facebook for sale.
So Facebook's going to get into human trafficking.
You don't really know me that well.
Or maybe
well.
It is. I don't know.
Well, you know, it's like, you know, underwear is kind of that, right? But even Facebook doesn't try to sell me underwear or like sexual products.
They always, for a while there, they were trying to sell me mesh clothing. So mesh shirts, mesh shorts, like all sorts of mesh things.
It not only covers your body, but you can also use it as a cheesecloth.
How did you feel about that targeting ad?
About the mesh? Some of what I wanted, but I just don't have the body for mesh that I want right now. Maybe once I get my waist a little smaller, then I'll go for the mesh shirts.
Listen, you don't dress for the body you want. You dress for the body you have.
Yes, and that's why I'm wearing t-shirts.
All bodies are beautiful. Mm-hmm. And if you are fearing the judgment on others, don't let the haters define you. Let your haters be your motivators.
It's for me. I'm not saying it's not for other people. It's for me.
You are beautiful no matter what say. The people on Reddit.
Everybody says I'm beautiful.
Except, well, okay.
Okay, most people.
Most people do.
Not everybody.
My husband says I'm beautiful. That's all that matters. Do you think I'm pretty, Chelsea?
Listen, your voice sounds wonderful. Yes, no, I think that's great. I have like a stuffed animal here. Sometimes I ask her for affirmation.
You never saw Johnny Carson be like, do you think I'm funny to the guests? They're like, yes, Johnny, you're fine.
Does the stuffed animal answer you back?
You know what? Thankfully not yet. But give it like another month and it might.
So people are freaking out in Japan about these see-through toilets. So they're basically like these toilets. It's a glass box. They're public toilets. It's a glass box. And so you can see through it. So you can see whether, like, I guess a lot of people have apprehension about using a public toilet because they're afraid that they're going to be really filthy on the inside. So you can look into it and kind of see, is it filthy or not, whether you want to use it. But once you go inside, it changes. So it's no longer see-through. It becomes opaque.
It's like one of those like electronic glass. So when you put the coin in the machine, it becomes opaque, but there's a timer on it. So you're like pitching a loaf and all of a sudden.
That's not how it is.
Ding, time's up.
That's not how it is. It stays opaque until you're done.
Just a minute.
But I don't know. Like, how do you get, like, do people just stay in there all night or does it turn on eventually? Like, at O'Hare, I don't know if you know this, and I'm not sure if all the toilets are on there, but one day I had to catch a flight and I was spending a little more time on the toilet than I expected to. And all of a sudden, my toilet started to vibrate.
And he really enjoyed that.
And I was just like, they wanted me to get off the toilet. Or I don't know if it was just trying to like tell me to get off, or if they had some kind of thing to see if was it sending a message to security? Check on this dude. He might be dead or doing some hanky panky in there. I don't know.
This is O'Hare Airport. Please pinch the loaf and wipe your butt. Have a nice day.
I like that idea of the Japanese, the restrooms, because I feel like, you know, people can operate under shame, and I think sometimes it could be used for a good thing. And it's like, if you knew that, like, as soon as you were leaving that restroom, that it would become see-through and everyone could see like what happened in there. I think
the trail of devastation you leave behind.
I destroyed that toilet.
Yes. I think like I'm here for it.
I'm really here for this news article about non-binary and transgender Vikings.
Well, they
ransacked and destroyed Britain over 1,000 years ago.
Well, the Vikings were all over Europe and even North Africa and Sicily. They got around, but they just discovered a 10th century burial site in Sweden that they thought, you know, held like a male warrior because of the outfits and what he was wearing and everything like that. But then when they looked at the body, they're like, oh, this person was like, you know, had the skeleton of a female bodied person. And so they thought, well, is it, you know, they figured probably back then that this person was just transgender and dressed and acted like a male and lived their life as a male.
So it was like a real life Mulan.
Yeah, it was a real life Mulan. And so that person, you know, back then, they, you know, because we have this idea that this the gender has always been like this fixed idea and that we've been living with it. But, you know, as we come to discover that so many places throughout the world, they have the third gender, and then
two spirits,
all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And so, you know, back then the Vikings would have had this idea that, you know, you can pretty much be whoever it is you want to be.
As long as you're not British.
Yeah. And I've talked to some, they settled into Britain. And then other people, you know, there's, I've talked to some trans people and they said that the idea of that you're either a man or you're a woman that became very fixed kind of came about during the time of the Renaissance and the elevation of science, and people tried to categorize everything and quantify everything and put everything into a little box. And before, there was some idea that you had, you know, some wiggle room to that kind of thing.
Yeah. And I want to say too that like, Teddy Roosevelt or one of the presidents, like if you look back at like their baby pictures, you would think it was like a female. Mm-hmm. And I think like the idea of what gender norms are, just even like beyond that, is so obviously constructed like by society and times.
Yeah.
And it makes sense that yes, clearly and obviously there were people that are trans back in the Vikings time and different things like that. But like, I just feel like it's so upsetting that like a lot of LGBTQ plus history just is lost to time because people don't like to talk about it, or well, you know,
erased,
what I mean?
Deleted love letters between, you know, queer couples just destroyed. Bibles were changed. I mean, all sorts of stuff. They just really wanted to eradicate it, especially during Victorian times. They were very anti gay anything and just tried to stamp it out, because a lot of times they viewed the family unit, a man married to a woman, as an economic engine for capitalism. And when you have like two queer people living together, that kind of like is a little what do you call it, like a stone in the gears of capitalism.
It's a pebble in the road.
Yes, and it kind of like it blocks that kind of thing.
It's a quaalude on the
disruption
in the 70s roller skating rink. Mm-hmm. I don't I was like, I imagine that there's like, so Thor from the event might be like, mm-hmm. not would be better as a non-binary character. You know, I could see like who's my favorite non-binary comedian who's getting into the acting role. Jake Knoll. I think he would be really good at that.
At Thor?
Yeah. Why not? Yeah. Like young Thor, you know?
Baby Thor.
I am mighty and non-binary. I'm really excited about this one here in a town of a Swiss town.
In Lind.
They got shocked when it started snowing chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
After a malfunction. What? So basically at a chocolate factory, they had a ventilation system and like it malfunctioned. So basically they had an explosion of chocolate into the sky, which it sounds like a real life Willy Wonka thing happening.
So there was they find cocoa was like dusted everywhere. Like it got on people's cars. They could smell it. But you know, I grew up in Pennsylvania, you know, several hours from Hershey, PA, but I have been to Hershey. And if
you've been on the Hershey Highway, too.
I definitely have been in the Hershey Highway a few times. And they, you could smell the chocolate everywhere. It's like, you know how like there's in Chicago, if you go buy Bombers chocolate, you can smell it there. Like at Hershey's, it's like 10 times more intense, because I think they just the volume of chocolate they put out is really a lot. So the whole town just smells like chocolate.
Do you think that's something that like people would enjoy? Because I think that sounds like a delight. But if you were in it all the time, or would it be like, I'm from notice? Iowa?
Well, when it happens like in Chicago, I always feel like it smells like burnt dog food. Like it doesn't smell good.
What, that chocolate?
Yeah, like when I smell it, like down, it's like in Wicker Park around
I
there.
I smell it when you're trying to get on the highway there.
Yeah.
Like going to the 94, like to the western suburbs from Ohio Street. That's where I always smell
And I'm always like, you think it'd be more delicious than it is, but you're like, you know, because part of it is like,
I think it smells good.
Disney, when you go into Disneyland and stuff, a lot of the candy stores, they pipe out vanilla scent. And what a lot of people like associate with chocolate is actually the smell of vanilla, because it gets you hungry.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think like I'm thinking about that chocolate, like falling down even more. Like, do you think people ate it?
Like snowflakes,
it could be like a really cute moment, and then like you're doing that, and then I don't know, like maybe get out some strawberries,
run out and bring out a glass of milk.
Really, just like
pure imagination.
It? Yeah,
I'd like to think that happened. You know, why don't we just? I mean, you know, the mind is a terrible thing to waste. Use it, right? Lights. Play with it.
Yes. Explore. Sorry. I got really trapped in that raining chocolate there. Yes.
Yeah.
I love the idea. Except, you know, I do catering sometimes, and I haven't had to work with a chocolate fountain in a while.
Oh my
but
God.
They're always just such a disgusting mess. It's, you know, people stick fruit and all this other stuff in it, and then it gets on their plates, and the plates are everywhere. It drips everywhere, and then the chocolate's in there. And the chocolate, you have to put a lot of oil in the chocolate, otherwise it doesn't run. And then if any water gets in there, it just all seizes up. I'm like, it's a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, if you want to, like, ruin somebody's wedding, if you're really mad at your ex-girlfriend getting married instead of you, and she invited you to a wedding anyways, and, like, you know, like Leisha Haley... You go in there, just bring an ice cube and throw it in the chocolate fountain. It'll seize up and start sputtering chocolate all over the guests.
You know, and that would be something that, like, you could do really sneakily. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, no one would ever know.
And it'd be like, oh, I'm so sorry. I just wanted to see what an ice cube covered in chocolate would be like. I didn't realize it was going to fall into the thing. And you know, because a lot of people take like a cake cube and stick it under the chocolate fountain and it falls in there and that clogs it all up. And it's like, it's a bomb. It's not fun.
I hear that. And it's also, it reminds me of like in the before times when you could have parties and it's like, I'm a dip enthusiast. And, you know, you get excited about it, but it just takes a couple of people to have a couple chips left in the dip. And there's nothing that ruins a party faster.
Well, you know, the one of the most delicious things you can make, and we should actually do a streaming video of this, is churros. You know what that is?
Oh.
No, in donuts. England, it's basically a fried Spanish donut or Mexican donut. That is like basically looks like a turd because that's the pun is churros, right? Churros literally means turd and is also a synonym for that. And basically it's a donut in the turd shape. And so it's a stick and then it's served with a thick hot chocolate sauce or beverage and you dunk the donut into the chocolate sauce and eat it. And it's super good.
That sounds delightful.
And it, you know, it's not as dirty as you think it is.
does Taco Bell have something like that? Not that I ever eat there, but does it?
I think they may have, yeah. I just, you know, like if you know you're Latino because taco, you're like, taco what? There's such a thing. Like, I don't know very few Latino people who actually eat at Taco Bell. You know,
that seems fair.
Many good Mexican, at least in Chicago, it's like, I don't want to go out there and be divisive. I'm a uniter, not a.
There's some people that really they just love Taco Bell.
But I think if you like Taco Bell, you might be one of those All Lives Matter people.
That's terrible.
But it is like I'm like there's literally so many good Mexican restaurants in Chicago, and you're going to Taco Bell. Why?
Drive through.
Okay.
You're drunk. You're
have
wasted.
It there. You got, yeah. And a gordita.
They're open 24 hours a day.
And, you know, one of those, what is it, tequila shot, Dorito, gordita, triple battered fried with sausage and cheese or whatever it is. It's like, no one else sells that stuff.
No. And I had heard one time, like, as like a comparison, is that like, a way you can tell if someone's a go-getter is if they use Chrome internet because they took the time to download it. And I feel like the people that don't take the time to download Chrome are like the people that go to Taco Bell, where it's just like, you're just kind of content with life. Why rock the boat?
I used to have Chrome, but now I had to switch to Safari because for whatever reason, Chrome wasn't working.
Oh, Chrome, like if you have it on a MacBook, it is going to kill your computer. It's like it eats up all the system resources. In fact, like I heard that Google's like making an announcement that like our next version of Chrome's not going to suck. And I'm like, yeah, right.
But I did like it for a while. And then I was just like, this is not working. Right.
Well, just demand it works so well if it's the only thing you're using on your computer. But if you're like, you know, surfing the internet and watching a movie. then it's going to seize up your computer. I'm sorry. I'm just like talking about hypnotism gets me horny. Part of it is like the mind.
If you want a good laugh, though, watch the feminization hypnosis stuff on YouTube.
Well, I don't want to be laughing at anybody's sexual. I don't want to yuck anyone else's yum.
Or their infantilism.
Now, the infantilism, I think, deserves to be laughed at.
I mean, it's just interesting to check it out for a while and just kind of see what's happening. Well, not for you because, you know.
Who's the good little baby? You're the good little baby. Gaga, Google. Oh, yes, my little man here. Oh, you. Are you a drinker or a stinker? You know, see, like, you know what that is, right? Poor Chelsea's horrified.
No, I'm sorry. Like, I didn't know that was to me. No, yeah. If you guys could watch it and really go down, like, into a deep dive and give me, like, the spark notes. I mean,
we should do, like, a reaction video to those things, you know? Because there's some of that stuff that's, like, that's part of the reason that, like, YouTube all these videos like 18 and over and stuff.
Oh,
because they were like targeting stupid shit to kids and stuff. And it's, you know, I think some of children's television is pretty terrible, you know, but like, imagine like Barney and Friends with like a man in a diaper, you know, and you're like, oh my God, this is not, you know, because it's easy to like, you know what I'm saying? Like an adult baby. And this is like adults who love babies, you know, it's very different things.
Yes, and the keyword search is pretty the same.
And so you want to search for infantilism if you want looking for that stuff, and especially the Google.
Fetish.
Yeah, and especially the Google image search, you get some really hysterically funny. Some of this stuff is, you know, it's just people dressed up, but it's like when it really is somebody like really outrageous, you're just like, this is pushing boundaries, you know. Or I think the most outrageous one is the cake farts. A whole thing where it's like,
it's a total fake.
I think they're fake.
What is that? I've never heard of it.
So it's women farting on cakes mostly. And so they're like letting one rip and the frosting goes flying off of it.
Oh my God. Wow. Okay.
Your birthday is ruined, but you're laughing all the less.
Do you think they still eat it?
Some videos, you could see that they're definitely, you know, chowing down on the cake they just sat on.
So what happens is like, it's not real farts. They pump a bunch of air up into their colon. And then, cause like, there's a lot of wind that comes out of those butts.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like, sure. Think about like how gassy you've ever been. Like it's 10 times that amount.
Yeah. Like, okay. It's not like me.
It's like, and then to do it on command, you know how hard it is to do it on command?
Yeah, you try farting on command. It's going to, you're going to poop in your pants.
I wonder if that ever happens. But like you said, it's pre-planned.
Take it from me. It's happened.
This is where the hypnotism comes along. I'm like so into the story. I'm believing it. I'm just like.
No, I'll tell you a story. When I was 12 years old, my cousins and my brothers and sisters, we all took a trip together and we were at the grocery. So it was like the Brady Bunch, but from Puerto Rico. So we're in a grocery store in one of those all night grocery stores. And they just thought it would be really funny to fart against each other. So I ran up to my cousin and I thought I was going to let one rip and I just crapped all in my pants.
Oh.
Oh no.
I was so mortified and embarrassed.
Did you tell anyone?
Yeah. Basically I had to go to the bathroom and it was like,
did you throw your underwear out?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what you do.
And it was just
was that like a before and after moment in your life? Like, do you think that it has affected you as an adult?
Well, it's like a Bart Simpson moment where you learn your lesson, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
You're like, I will never use farts as a weapon.
Only for comedy.
And even then, it's like a whoopee cushion, you know? It's like, who is that comedian that he used to come out? Leslie Nielsen. He used to bring out whoopee cushions on talk shows and put them on the sofa. So then the next guest that would come out would sit down and be like, you know, farting all over. It was fantastic. You can watch it on YouTube.
I think the key to this is that like YouTube is a real gateway. You know what I mean? You can find
it's your mind. Your mind is a powerful tool. And it's like, you know, don't let hypnotism scare you from exploring the beautiful caves of your own imagination.
Yes. And I think with that, like, I think you guys have inspired me that maybe I'll try to use this like hypnosis for good and start to really like open, you know, areas of my life that I was previously too afraid to go through.
Or you could use it for evil too.
That is true too.
You know, cause I was watching that, DC comics, Harley Quinn movie, the Emancipation of Harley Quinn.
Yeah. Harley Quinn.
Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
And I was like, is she a villain or is she the good guy? I'm like, I'm not sure, you know,
she's a villain, but they want her to be the good guy for this. Right.
It's a good feminist, you know, women empowerment film getting together and fighting crime. And you're not sure what's going, you know, it's a good film. It's very entertaining if you haven't seen it. But
I'll have to add that.
But that would be, you know, you're like Harley Quinn, but you know, if she were a easily hypnotized lesbian comedian.
Yeah. And it'll be like one of those things queer, where it's like queer. Suspenseful. Yeah. Queer. Where at the end, like nobody really knows if I'm good or bad until like I have like a memoir that's like written at the end where I'm just like, joke's on you. Like, da 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 da.
Do you think like the hypnotists are like frustrated comedians and they're just like, you know, trying to turn the tables and be like, you really enjoyed this show. It was fantastic. And, you know, those kind of things.
Yeah. And I think what's interesting about like hypnotists is that like they have to be like entertainers in ways.
Yeah.
But also it maybe it's like essentially like a host of like an open mic or something like that. But like they have to do that. But the performance of it all too is the people that are hypnotized. So, I mean, as long as you have like your couple minutes.
Well, it's kind of like a faith healer is kind of like a hypnotist too, right?
Sure. Yeah. I never thought of it that way, but you're right. Yes.
Cause you know, a lot of those people, they're just like, I just felt the spirit taking over me and I felt back, you know, and you're just like, man, it's like, that would be such a trip. You're like going to see Benny Hinn. Not Benny Hill. I thought we were going to see Benny Hill. No, it's Benny Hinn. And he like touches you and you're like skeptical and cynical and atheist. And you're like, oh my God, Jesus, it's real. You know, can you imagine that?
That would be, I mean, your life would change, but also like, do you think being queer, like in that moment, like you would be like, okay, like I have a decision to make here. Like, would it override everything that you thought you were as a person?
You're like, nice try. I still like dick.
Yes.
Sorry. You lose. They're like, get him out of here quick.
But like, I feel like that's a space that, you know, the queer community hasn't really got into. Maybe we could start that.
Like I'm game with it.
We could be that. Yeah. You know what I mean?
How would that work? What would you do?
We got to train this powerful hypnotist superhuman, Chelsea Myers. We got to turn that current goes both ways.
Yeah.
It's a sword. It cuts both ways.
You have power inside you.
And harness that power for good or evil.
Not for evil.
I don't think about it as non-binary. I'm more like Harley Quinn. You know, I like an egg and bacon and cheese sandwich in the morning, you know?
I hear you.
Good and evil. So binary. And use it to, you know, make the world a better place.
I think that's like a great plan. And that maybe if we can get that up and running by next week in the Republican convention, we could really do a lot of good.
You know, your mouth to God's ears, darling, to Benny Hinn's ears.
Oh, is the Republican convention is next week? I was going to go home and see my family, but
oh yeah, that ain't happening. You don't want to hang out with your mom while Trump's talking on television?
Oh,
no. You were like, I'm going to go home visit my mom. Yeah, nope.
Well, I mean, if she watches that, then I'm going to go over to my friend's house where that's not on television. Well, it's only on at night, and that way she can stay at home and watch it. I'll go see my.
Is it going to be streaming?
Yeah, I guess. Well, it's probably going to be on some. It's on TV somewhere, right?
Somewhere. It does feel like these things look more like a, you know, Guthy Renker infomercial for like a rotisserie oven. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like I would be surprised if you know Biden came out and said, "Set it and
forget it."
That's right.
I was just gonna say I've been really enjoying, like, I feel like it's like a dating show, like how people have been talking about Joe and Kamala, where it's just like the chemistry is unreal, like between these two, and like you could see them exchanging looks, and it's like this weird thing of like infomercial people like selling the love between these two people and country.
It's and like it's, QVC.
Yes.
Here we have these two candidates. It's Kamala. And if you just pair them with Joe, look how they go together so well. Oh, yeah. Yes. I see what you're saying. Yeah, it's an oversell. I mean, it's basically anybody but Trump at this point in time, right?
Yeah, Kamala's power suit says, I mean what I say, but don't forget I still am a woman. And I'm in touch with my femininity, yet I'm empowered and a being in total control of herself.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm smiling, but not too much.
Yeah, I'm not having resting bitch face. But I could if you want me to.
I could. My face doesn't rest, just like me.
My desire for fighting injustice never rests.
Well, the case for justice, yes.
Chelsea, it's a good talking to you, by the way. It was really fascinating to hear your story about hypnotism. And I hope that, you know, you don't run into any kind of troubles or I'm worried that we're going to like hang up and like you're going to be like,
should we check in with you or something?
Must eat all the ice cream in the freezer.
Will you yeah. like text us like an hour and be like, I'm not hypnotized?
I will. That sounds like a deal. I'll text you in an hour and let you know how things are going.
Or if you're really easily persuaded, must go to Apple Podcasts and give Feast of Fun a 5-star review and share it with all my friends on social media.
And then tweet Apple Podcasts and tell them that Mark and Fausto have the best banter.
Mark and Fausto have the best banter. They have incredible guests like Chelsea Myers, who is not under the spell anymore.
Ever.
Ever.
You know what? I'll just do that just because.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Of your own free will?
My own, yes. What I was going to say, of my own volition. Is that the word?
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
I got scared. Yes, volition.
Yeah.
Volition. That's a good word.
What's the up and unvolition?
Volition, voluntary.
Yes, volition, volunteer.
Volunteer, so.
Yes.
It would be somebody if you were forced to do it.
But see, I know that. Do you live alone or do you have a roommate, Chelsea?
I don't. I live alone.
Okay, but you had roommates before, right?
I had roommates before, yes.
And you're like, Chelsea, you were supposed to wash the dishes. And like, I forgot to wash the dishes, you know. You could do anything.
Yeah. Honestly, yes. My roommates were like the people that had to deal with it. So I think like they would have been like, uh-oh, yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to trigger
her. Perfect escape.
Don't, you know, she had that ring video. That girl crawl out of the TV set. All hell will break loose.
It essentially, that like picture that and yep. That was my early 20s.
Oh my God. That's so amazing. Well, I look forward to hearing more about your adventures in hypnotherapy and using your superpower for good and not for evil, or, you know, whatever works.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. I had so much fun.
Chelsea, where can people follow you and check you out your Zoom streaming events and, you know, get deeper into your easily hackable mind?
Yes. So on all social media platforms, it's Chelsea K. Myers. Myers spelled like Fort Myers, you know, M-Y-R-S. And I mostly do things on Instagram, so that would be a great place. I have a website, ChelseaKMyers.com. And I have a podcast called Elder Talk with Chelsea K. Myers. So those would be the avenues.
There's only one episode on there right now?
There's only one episode right now. I had other ones. There were some issues going on, but there should be some new ones up within the next couple weeks here. So awesome. I'm excited about those guests.
So the show's like, who are you? What do you want? You're like, this is Chelsea. I'd like to interview you. And you're like, no, no.
That's the response. Yes. If you saw my emails, it's just me emailing a ton of elderly people.
That does sound like a lot of fun. And I hope it grows and becomes something really wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Take care, Chelsea.
Take care, Chelsea. Thanks for coming on. Come back again, okay?
I will. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Chelsea Myers lives in Chicago, Illinois. You're going to be subscribing to her on social media.
Chelsea K. Myers on all the platforms.
Oh, the Instagram land, Facebook land, Twitter land.
Have you ever been hypnotized, Fausto?
I did. They tried. The guy like quit. You're terrible.
You're unhypnotizable.
I'm goof proof.
Oh.
Yeah. I was just like, I really wanted it to work.
Mm-hmm.
I want to.
We'll try it again.
Well, okay. Why don't you do it to me?
Well, let's go to like Branson, Missouri, and we'll take you to a hypnotist show. And
I don't want to go to one of those low budget hee haw shows.
Why not?
I actually did listen to like bodybuilding hypnosis tapes.
Oh, that's right. You did.
And I was like, it was kind of hot. You know? I was like,
your muscles are getting bigger and bigger.
It was like this masculine voice. And I was like, your biceps are so big and you're flexing them and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, yeah, daddy. Tell me more.
I want to remind folks, we can't do this podcast without your support. So if you're not a Plus member yet, sign up at feastfund.com/plus because your contribution to the show is what makes the show happen. We wouldn't be able to talk to fabulous comedians like Chelsea K. Myers if it weren't for you and your contribution over the years. We are in our 16th season. That's 15 years of solid podcasting.
That's right.
Because of you.
You are surrounded by beautiful light. You are going to be going to Patreon. Patreon.com/feastoffun. And you're going to be subscribing at our highest tier possible. Then you're going to go to feastoffun.com/store and buy yourself a fabulous Feast of Fun t-shirt. Just one? Why not make it 5, 6, or 10?
Buy one for the whole family.
Why one for every friend that you have?
And remember, our Venmo is at Feast of Fun.
And you can always make a one-time donation through PayPal or Venmo or the Cash App, Feast of Fun. It's that easy. Doesn't it feel good to be supporting your favorite podcast? And now we're going to be ending the show, and you're going to be going to Apple Podcasts and giving us a 5-star review. And then tweeting Apple Podcasts on Twitter and let them know how much you love Feast of Fun. They're so wonderful, aren't they? They're a wonderful show.
The best banter is what they want to know.
They have the best banter in the world.
I don't know why it popped up on my Twitter and I was just like...
The best banter.
And people are like, this podcast. I'm like, wait a second.
And then you're going to go buy some donuts and mail them to Feast of Fun... 5315 North Clark Street, number 242, Chicago, Illinois, 60640-2113. Aren't you happy that you listened to the Feast of Fun podcast? Yes, you are. And now, when we snap our fingers, you're going to take action and do all those things we did. On the count of three, ready? 1, 2, 3.
Thank you.